Summer Skies, be quiet everyone for a bit. Hello and welcome to the podcast. It's Dave O'Neill here with the debrief, and yes, everyone tuning in probably knows this is the COVID edition where there's no live gigs in Victoria, so I've just been ringing comics to see how they're going. Some of the legends, and this guy is a legend of comedy, he's a legend of podcasting. I spoke to his other half, Carl Chandler. Now it's time to speak to the Das, Tommy Dassler. I've got to ring him, see if he's around though. I'm running a bit late with the...
Hey, Puff.
It's Tommy Dassler. Yeah. I am recording.
You're recording?
Yeah.
God damn. Okay.
Yeah, you're going to be cancelled, man.
Okay, that's for context. For anyone who doesn't know, that's how Dave O'Neill comes on the podcast that I do.
That's right.
That's the catchphrase that he uses.
Yeah.
So I'm using it back on him.
Exactly.
Don't tweet me. Don't cancel me.
Yeah. Well, some of the things you've done at the Dum Dum Club, I'm sure you've covered every ground now. Surely. The chance of getting cancelled are very slim.
It's the South Park defense. They just go after everyone and leave no stone unturned.
Yes, right. But occasionally, like the Daily Mail goes through your podcast when you have someone on, don't they? And they pick up things about, who was it that went on there? And they go,
Fiona O'Loughlin.
That's right.
Fiona O'Loughlin went on it, and then that was like all the little sound bites from that. This is that great form of journalism where, someone writes an article by just listening to something and transcribing it.
Oh, I hate
that. Very, very good stuff.
Or they report tweets as news. Their reaction to Tommy Dassler's new TV show wasn't great. Three tweets of unknown people.
don't know that I love that example. I can't even get on TV, and yet somehow now I've got a show that's being slammed in the press.
Yeah. I've imagined your show already being that's terrible. Let's change it to Carl Chandler's new show. It's already been slammed. Anyway,
I like that a lot more.
Yeah, that's
I like that a lot more.
That's Tommy's partner in crime on the Dum Dum podcast. I've spoken to Carl before, and people like when I chat to him because he presents someone said on the internet he presents a more, what was it, sensitive side or a nicer side of him. So
on this show,
yes.
So that's interesting.
So Tommy, I don't know what you want to present. You can present. Maybe you can be more acerbic and more.
I can be the bad guy, but that brings out that side of him.
In Carl.
I would think I would bring out the softer side of people.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that that's what I would encourage, but yeah, maybe not.
No, I think, you're not like a slap down kind of put down comic. You're not like, you don't get up on stage and go, what the hell's going on with, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I'm no Don Rickles.
Yes.
That is funny though to think about like, stand up not happening at the moment and then it coming back. And just like your first gig back, you're already just like turning on the audience again, just like just insulting everyone in the room. There's like only five people allowed in there, and you're just burning all of them.
Or you've reassessed your act, and you've come back as more a Don Rickles type, or a just come on and go, what the hell's going on with Bindi Irwin? And you just slam someone like Bindi Irwin for 5 minutes. What about Bert Newton? And then just bang, you're just like, wow, this guy's just so harsh on people.
Yeah, totally. It's hard to imagine having too much cause to be like too angry up there.
You know,
when you just like been locked in the house for so long and just like, realize that everything's a gift. It's like, man, we're lucky to be all out here in this moment together.
Have you
done
any gigs?
But that being said, watch with that t-shirt, you fucking idiot.
What are you looking at? Have you done any of those gigs that are around? It's just been announced we're going into lockdown here in Melbourne for 6 more weeks.
Yeah, we're going back in.
Oh.
I got in while the getting was good. In the last like month and a half, I did 3 spots.
Wow.
So bit of a bloody gig pig over here. Just can't get enough of it.
Like you're living in New York or London. what were they like? Was that all to 15 people, each of these gigs?
Yeah, you know what? I did spleen Carl's gig that he runs, and just was like went pretty average.
Yeah.
And then I did Catfish last week and had a really good one there, but God, it was a relief because it's like that was like the worst thing about it. Gigs are so few and far between.
Yeah, you live with the last gig you've
done. You have a bad
one,
you just take so long to get back on the horse, and was walking into Catfish going like, man, if this doesn't go good, that's probably me just done forever. Just like,
no, that's 2020 done. That's 2020 done.
Well, and if I had bombed like at that one, then now we're in lockdown again. So now it's going to be another 6 weeks. It's like, that's brutal. Like, at least I get to go into this having had one good one under my belt. Feels good.
What was the third one that you did?
Oh no, sorry. Like, so spleen, there's like two shows in the night.
Oh yes, two in the night.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And they're both average.
Yeah. I mean, the first one was okay. Like, you know, whatever, like a bit average. And then the second show started up and everyone was like, oh yeah, this crowd's way better. This crowd are like way more into it. And then I went on and I was like, I reckon I've done worse with the better crowd than I did with the flat one.
I love when they go, this crowd's the best ever. And you go on, you're like, oh, 5 minutes in, you're like, whoa, it's not that good. What's happening here?
It feels really shit. I mean, yeah, when you're at a gig and it's like red hot and everyone's going, they're amazing. It's like so much pressure, but it's like a gig where the audience are like fine or not great. It's just like, well, you know, there's no stakes here now.
Yeah. There's something to be said for Nick Cab always reminds me of some gig I did at the Public Bar where it was really crap and I turned up and went on and smashed it. But I hadn't been there I didn't know what it was like. So I just assumed it'd be fine. That's something to be said for that. We just turn up and go on and you don't know what it's like. You've got no idea.
Well, this gig at Catfish the other week, one of the weirdest things about it was, so there's like, I think it was 12 punters max or something.
Yeah.
So there's just that many people there to watch.
Not even 15.
I know. So we're sitting up the back of the room, like chatting before the gig, and because that's so few people in the room, it's so quiet that like the whole audience are just there, just able to hear the entire small talk of the comics up the back of the room. It's like, this may as well just be the show. Like this is like, they're getting a bunch of gossip from all of us about who we think's been losing their mind in isolation and, you know, all that kind of backroom chat.
Who's been losing their mind? I mean, as I think Carl pointed out, people that are shaving their heads or dyeing their hair have...
That's pretty standard. Dyeing the hair is a pretty standard one.
Yeah. Lawrence Mooney famously dyed his hair when he was on radio or quit radio. He had like bright blonde hair.
That was when I first met him. He had that hairdo. Yeah. That's the like original Mooney in my mind. That's like, that's my baseline Mooney. Yeah, free, just like absolute spiral, not handling the radio job.
Now, I've got to declare that I'm actually sitting in my car. My three kids are in the car with me, Tommy. They're actually...
We could have done this another time.
I know.
You suggested this time.
I know. But I thought the situation changed and their mother's gone. Anyway, she's gone. She's gone to the hospital. No, she's not. She's gone to visit someone in hospital. And so we're just sitting here and I thought, oh, well, I said I'd ring it. I have to ring you. But now they can't hear you. So they can only hear me. But they're all on their devices. They've got headphones in. But my son, the 17-year-old, started playing computer games because, you know, we were anti-computer games. And he's now got, what's that you're playing at the moment, Jasper? What is that one?
Sunless Skies.
Sunless Skies. Sunless Skies is the one he bought.
Sunless Skies. I don't know. What console is it on?
What console is that on? No, it's just on a computer.
RPG.
RPG. It's
cool.
I believe that stands for role playing game, Tommy.
Yeah. You get it. Yeah, you're a real. Yeah,
go on, your dad. You're pretty cool. You're pretty cool, Dad. Well, he hassled us for years, and I kept saying, I don't want you to turn into one of those computer guys like Tommy Daslow, but then he showed me the computer game, and it looked pretty good. And my youngest son said there's too much reading, though, isn't there? There's like a lot of words. You got to read stuff when you get to a place. Yeah. Are you driving in a submarine?
It's a train in the sky.
A train in the sky, man.
See? This is meant to be you interviewing me, and now it's just kind of turning into me interviewing your kids about computer games.
Well, I always say, oh, I should ask Tommy Dassler. He knows all about this stuff. I don't know what you're talking about, you guys. So
I would imagine there's like a lot of parents around the world who, similar to yourself, like holding out against getting a gaming console for the kids, that have just found that argument really crumbling in the face of isolation.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
A lot of parents going back on their firmly held beliefs. Steiner-like
values. That's right.
Yeah.
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 Go and play with your wooden toys in the backyard. And now they're all on screens. Absolutely.
That's been, it has been a good time to be into video games in isolation and everything, because it's one of the few things that hasn't really been. There's been a couple of things here and there that got delayed or pushed back a little bit, but by and large, everything big that was meant to come out has still come out this year and got all the time in the world to play it. I mean, if you're a big James Bond fan, you know, you're spewing, you're missing out on Time to Die.
Movies?
Who knows when that's going to come out?
Yeah. Movie shows, TV shows are being delayed, the making of these things are being delayed, but video games, you're right.
Oh man, we'd be chatting about season 3 of Barry right now, I reckon, if this wasn't going on.
You put me on to Barry too, and I loved it. You recommended it, and
it's so good.
It's really good. It's a very funny. He's so good, that guy, that main guy.
Yeah,
I don't know his name.
But I was also really hoping that was one of those ones that got in under the radar, and they would have wrapped it up before everything hit. But
they haven't.
No, I don't think they had. No, they don't think that started yet.
So how have you been coping in isolation, Tommy? You live by yourself. I've been to your flat. Because you do the dum-dum there. You're not far from Nick Giannopoulos. Maybe you're hanging out the balcony with him. I don't know. a few drinks with the original Wog Boy. But
I know. Yeah, I've been all right for the most part. I mean, I've kind of pretty lucky in the sense that my girlfriend lives in another suburb, and when lockdown kind of first happened, there was a day where it was pretty unclear if you would be able to travel to see your partner. So that was like a bit of a weird day.
Yeah.
But then when they clarified it and said, no, you can go to each other's house if you're in a relationship but don't live to each other. So that's kind of made it really...
Did she know that you were in a relationship?
Pardon?
Did she know that you were in a relationship? That's the thing I'm wondering. If you turned up and she went, what are you doing? Well, we're in a relationship.
Just wanting to go official so that you have an excuse to go to leave your house. Yeah.
We've been there three times.
Been that. Yeah.
We've been there three times. We're not, what are you doing here? Oh, okay,
well, just like being able to go to another house too. Like, so it was kind of like we would split up the week. She'd come here for a few days and then I'd go there. And she's got two housemates as well. She lives with a couple. So it's just kind of that for me as well, like just having someone else to interact
talk to.
With. Like,
yeah,
me getting there and just absolutely chewing their ears off, just really holding court in the kitchen while they're trying to cook their vegan dinner and just being like, can you just fucking leave us alone, please?
Stop talking about computer games, mate. We don't know.
Yeah. Stop chewing our ear off about Mario. We don't care.
Do you guys listen to podcasts?
they're big fans of Rove in their house. They love Rove.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are they from a time machine or are they from the 90s? I love Rove. I started out. Rove started 4 years after me, but... He hasn't been on
for
a while.
They're like,
he's on the
they're
Doctor
my
Who.
Age. You're a little bit. I think they're one of them's a little bit young, like mid-20s. So I think they're kind of like they're right in the sweet spot of like Rove being big thing on TV.
On when they were teenagers, possibly.
Mm.
Yeah.
My girlfriend keeps saying they should bring back. She keeps saying they should bring back What The, and I'm like, but what do you mean? Like, as like because that was just a segment on the show, and she has this idea that Rome should just have like 5 minutes on the TV each night to just do What The.
Oh, wow. Like an interstitial at the end of the news.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Even part of the news. That would be great after the weather.
Or
the daily What The.
Or do Who Would You Turn Gay For? That was another one of his segments.
Yeah.
Which you may not be able to do now.
Wouldn't really fly.
Did you ever go on Rove? Did you ever?
No, I worked on it for a bit. It was my first.
You wrote on it?
It's my first comedy job.
I did stand up, but I was also a guest once or twice at least. Yeah.
I reckon I saw you on there promoting the Nugget.
Yes. Yeah, because of course his former wife, Belinda, who passed away, was on in the Nugget. And Rove would come up. That's where I got to hang out with him. He would come up to Mudgee in 2001, where we filmed the Nugget and we'd hang out together.
Oh, wow.
Me, Rove, and Banner, and Curry, Yeah, you know, it's good times. I mean,
I'm pretty sure I saw that interview on Rove as a special feature on Nugget DVD.
Yes.
Which, in hindsight, is just such a funny, it's such a funny thing to chuck on the DVD.
Yeah.
Like something from the press junket for the movie that you've just watched being on there is like so weird.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah.
Now, I ask everyone these questions that comes on the podcast. Mm. What was the last thing you cooked? Have you been getting into cooking or?
I've been cooking a lot. Yeah, I really like cooking. I've been doing a lot of it.
I have this impression of you as just a young bachelor, just having takeaway every night.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially when you do comedy as well. Like,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's pretty rare that you have a night where you really have the time to cook properly. But yeah, a combination of just like, it's such a good time killer in ISO. You pick a good recipe, it takes you, a couple of hours from start to finish. Well, and also, to be completely honest, being in a relationship too, it's like, it's really hard to get the motivation to cook when when you're single and live alone and cooking for one.
Yeah.
But what did I make? I made this over the weekend. I made these rice cakes with spicy sausage that I had to go to an Asian grocer to get the like specific like Korean spice powder and Sichuan pepper and like some little bird's eye chilies and just like the spiciest thing I've ever eaten. Like I've got leftovers for it of it for tonight that I might end up getting takeaway. I'm kind of scared to. I don't want to be wasteful. I want to eat the leftovers, but it destroyed me the next day. So I'm kind of like, I know that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to finish this off and feel like that's the right good thing to do. But then it's just, I know that tomorrow is going to be a write-off as well. Like, I'm a bit anxious about it.
It's a good curry heats you twice. That's what they say.
Exactly. Yeah.
And what's the other question? What was the last thing you watched or listened to?
What was the last thing I watched? Oh, I've been watching the documentary about McMillions, about the group of people that rigged the McDonald's Monopoly thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
My son's talked about that. That's a bizarre story.
It's a crazy story.
Was it one guy controlling all the McDonald's cards or something?
Yeah, it was basically a guy that worked at the plant that printed them up, and then he got like the mafia involved to like distribute them to friends and family, and then they would take a cut. But you know what? It's like such a crazy story, and like this big, you know, all these people that get sucked in, and it's, you know, it's just really interesting the people that he goes to that are just like, look, you know, I knew it was wrong, but it's not like stealing in the sense that you're, you know, robbing a bank or whatever. It's just like, well, here's this ticket and it's a winning ticket, so I'm just going to take it. You know, just the kind of examination of, you know, different people's moral code and everything is really interesting. But, and you'd be able to relate to this. My big takeaway is like, they'll just keep showing you stock footage of like McDonald's ads. And my big takeaway is like, fuck, I could go a quarter pounder right now.
Like, yum. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was, it was a very bizarre pairing, Monopoly and McDonald's. When you think Monopoly's kind of, I know it's a constant and we've got a few sets at home, but it's a very long-winded game to play. It's like,
it's a very like incongruous link to just go like, oh yeah, McDonald's, yeah, you know, we'll put these little pieces on the chip packet. But it's huge. Like I remember being a kid and, you know, seeing on the ads that they were bringing it back and being like, oh hell yeah. So exciting.
Yeah. Oh, your poor parents, you being an only child, they would have had to play Monopoly with you. At least my kids can
I don't remember ever doing that though. I don't think we ever.
Did you do bit of Uno? We did Uno.
We ever had any? I don't think we ever had any family game nights. I think my parents were really interested. No.
How are your parents going? Because for people that don't know, your parents come to your gigs and they've come to my gigs before.
They're big Dave O'Neill fans.
They're great people. They're probably about my age.
They're good. They're all right. Like mum tutors, so she's had to work out how to do that over Zoom, which has basically been me having to like tutor her how to do her tutoring over Zoom. She said one of her students has a tendency to kind of get bored with the lesson, so he'll just put her on mute, which is just brutal to hear. Someone doing that to your mum, because it's also like, God, that's so funny. That kid rules.
Yeah, put it on mute. God. One kid,
But yeah, they're good. Dad's just like pottering around, you know.
Yeah.
Dad's retired, so he's doing like his, happy.
I was very interested to hear his autobiography, and you started a chapter on one episode of the Dum Dum Club when he was in Hawaii,
yeah.
But I was intrigued. So have you read any more out since?
Yeah, he's been sending me bits of them, but because he's kind of writing it in quite a dry, boring way, so I've been like punching them up in my, so I'm like rewriting them and ghostwriting them to read out,
sure,
on the pod.
Oh,
but
right.
I haven't gotten around to reading the next bits out yet, because the last kind of few that we've done, we've had guests that are
they're not aware,
know, over Zoom, or like, yeah, not people that we know as well, which feels a bit weird to just like
spring your
get
dad's
Ursula Carlson or Carl Kinnaird and just go, anyway, here's something that my dad wrote that I've rewritten.
Yeah.
Then going like, sorry, why am I sitting here at 9 p.m. my time listening to this?
Yeah. About a guy in Hawaii on a he's being posted,
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
My last question is, what's the last form of human contact you had? Anyone you spoke to in person or touched?
Oh, just today. Just did a pod.
Who'd you do it with? Can you say?
We had it was with Nick Cody.
I've
and we did, yeah, Carl Kinnaird over.
Oh wow, Carl Kinnaird, yeah.
Yeah. So that's
of
good.
Course, Nick. Oh yeah, right. Oh, that's good. Well, you've got to tune into the Dum Dum Club. It's a very popular comedy podcast, is it not, Tommy Daslow? Very popular.
Yeah, and Dave's been on a bunch of classic episodes. Some real rippers.
Yeah, I meet your fans. You know, you always. I was in Darwin. I met one of your fans. Had a Dum Dum shirt on. You know, they're all over the joint.
They're everywhere. They're a virus.
Yeah. Tommy Daslow, good to speak to you.
Thanks, Dave.
Say bye to Tommy, guys. No, they don't want to say bye. What's wrong with these kids?
No respect.